Where do you get your authority? For certain people, their authority comes from their profession or their role in life. It comes from their education and their experience and has some outward sign to indicate who they are and why they should be respected. So, for example, a physician has been to medical school and has received other training. So you see her authority through the diplomas in her office, the white jacket she wears if she's making rounds, the stethoscope around her neck. A doctor, a physician, has authority. Others have authority because of their role, like a parent, especially when the children are young and assuming a reasonably healthy and safe home environment. We respect and obey our parents, and as we get older, we have different responses at times, but often we might bite our tongues or roll our eyes when our parents say something like, "Because I say so." Of course, that authority of our parents will evolve with us over time. But beyond our role or our profession, on what is our personal authority based? Why should people listen to us or respect us? Well, those questions are explored in the gospel for today. For Jesus, in this passage, his authority is being questioned by people who have professional credentials and social standing in his world, the religious leaders of his people. In that day, other than the officials of the Roman Empire, no one had greater authority. And Jesus, by his words and actions, was making them feel threatened. We know how authority tends to respond if it feels threatened. To set just a little context, Jesus had just entered Jerusalem in a way like a king. And then he had disrupted the operation of the temple like a prophet. Jesus was challenging the status quo that had been established over centuries. And in their view, putting at risk what they were sure was sanctioned by God. So these authorities questioned Jesus about his authority. On what basis was he doing all that? Who was he to challenge the way they led the people? In the way that Jesus responded, he revealed his authority and how he managed it. He gave insight in how we might view and handle our authority as individuals and even as the church. Jesus' first insight about authority is you do not need to answer every question that you're asked. Or I saw it expressed in an internet meme this way: you do not have to attend every fight you're invited to. Having authority does not mean weighing in on every topic and trying to get everyone to conform to our point of view. Because when we do that, it may result in an outcome that we don't want or expect. Jesus' second insight about authority is this: to ask questions. In this example, Jesus asked a question that threw his opponents off balance. They came to Jesus very certain that they were right and he was wrong and that he needed to be corrected, if not worse. Jesus turned their certainty upside down with a simple question. Excuse me. By asking them about how they responded to John's baptism, they had to admit their authority was not quite so certain after all. It was limited by what they felt would maintain the status quo. They navigated a cautious middle way in their response, and they avoided, because of that, any possible controversy. So authority, well expressed, requires us to ask questions, not just as a debate technique to throw our opponents off, but as a way to learn what is really happening, what is beneath the surface before we proclaim as the authority with so much certainty how things must be. Now, the third insight that Jesus gives us about authority is revealed in the parable that he told. It's a complex story, even though it really only involves a very few words. The gist of it, at least as traditionally interpreted, is this. Is it better to say no to an authority and then change your mind and obey, or to say yes and never do what is required? Then Jesus asked, "What do you think?" He put it back on those he was engaging. And to be clear, Jesus doesn't give a right or wrong answer. There's an implication because of what he continues to say about tax collectors and prostitutes. But in my preparation, one commentator said this, that in a sense, both were half right and half wrong, especially in a culture in which to say no to your father was a tremendous insult. And frankly, the way I was brought up, it would have been a big issue as well. So Jesus pointed to this third aspect of authority. What is the basis for how we are to live? The religious leaders challenging Jesus lived based on protecting the status quo, even if it meant avoiding tough questions. Jesus contrasted these leaders with people they would despise, tax collectors, prostitutes. Wonder who those people would be for us today. Jesus said the way these outsiders lived proved they had more authority than the religious leaders. Though they were considered sinners, they had a core belief in God that guided them in life. And Jesus held them up as examples for people who saw themselves as the authority, as the example for their people. So what does this mean for us? That's always the question. What is the source of our authority? Beyond our profession or our role in life, how do we make decisions for ourselves and when it's needed for other people? How do we bear witness to what we believe? Well, let's look again at Jesus' three insights and maybe give some updated examples. When someone challenges us, ask us a hard question, we do not have to react harshly. One thing we could do is simply be quiet. Our silence can express our authority and cause the other person to just keep talking and talking until they get tangled up in their own words. That's one way. Or we may engage in a different type of conversation. Instead of reacting, instead of becoming defensive, even attacking the other person, one thing we could do is tell a story, a personal story that changes the tone of our encounter. So in my own life, when someone asked me once why I opposed the death penalty, I could have said, well, because the church has made a resolution, or I could quote disparate sentencing statistics. But instead, what I did in that case is to tell a story about someone I knew, someone who was executed. Her name is Kelly. I met her in prison through a program that the church was doing, and I learned her story, how she had done the crime, she'd done bad things, but the love of God had touched her in a way that transformed her so that she was a witness to that whole community in the prison. And so that when it was being made to the board that could have pardoned her or commuted her sentence to life without parole, she had people who were in the administration, the guards, the wardens, as well as people all over the world testifying on her behalf. And so when she was executed, that light was taken out of that community. I told that story. And in that case, that changed the dynamic. I'm not sure if it changed the opinion, but it helped us in our relationship, so it wasn't an us versus them based on our views on a very controversial subject, but instead we were able to consider our common humanity and God's mercy. That expresses our authority. Asking a question is a powerful tool, not again in an accusing way, not the way that Jesus' opponents came to him, but asking questions to reveal deeper truth for ourselves and hopefully for the person that we're asking. And in the gospel, if you study Jesus' words, Jesus asked questions much more often than he answered them. That was his way of engaging and showing his authority. For me, as a leader, I can tell you, asking a question has saved me more than once. When someone has said or done something that tempts me to react, that makes me feel threatened, if I remember to pause and take a breath and simply ask why, or help me to understand, I always learn something. What I might see as a challenge to the way I would have done something turns out to be a much better way to do it. And authority means being humble enough to listen and to be willing to change course no matter whose idea we're following. A third aspect of our understanding of our authority is our faith in God, and living according to our faith is the most powerful source. Period. This can get tricky because arguably what those religious leaders were doing was living according to their faith. It's just in their case that happened to overlap with their self-interest, with the status quo. So for us, let's not criticize people 2,000 years ago. For us, how can we avoid the trap of confusing our faith in Christ with our self-interest? Well, I'm not sure, because I'm in the middle of it myself, but I can offer these insights. One is to listen to the good news. Listen to the message that John the Baptist proclaimed, the message that Jesus embodied and lived and proclaimed, that Paul proclaimed. And the message is basically this, that God loves us and God forgives us, all of us. That God made human in Jesus proved that love. And when Jesus was crucified and God raised him from the dead, God demonstrated that God's love wins. The worst that humans can do cannot stop the best that God intends for us, for all of us. And God's best is our forgiveness and healing and our work for justice so that we can truly love God and one another. So if all that is true, and if all that is what we believe, then how do we live? Because that's very authoritative. That's what the tax collectors and the prostitutes understood. Believing in God's love and forgiveness changed their lives. Day by day, God's grace transformed them, so they became humbler. Because of who they were, and more importantly, who God is, they did not start telling other people what they should do or not do. Because that's misguided authority at best. Instead, these sinners knew who they were, not based on their status, but based on God's love that transformed their lives. They could no longer see themselves or see other people as insiders and outsiders, good and bad, because they knew God was so much bigger than that. And their faith gave them a different type of authority that Jesus held up as an example. So for all of us today, it's time to ask, where do we stand? What is the basis of our authority? Let us pray to be like those outsiders, so that we can live inside the love of God.